For our reading this morning, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and read the first 21 verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 verses.
Nađene da se čita iz poslanice apostola Pavla Efescima iz 5. glave, prvih 21 stih. Efescima 5. glava.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. The reading that we had this morning speaks of a way of holiness, a way that God would have us to live, and in a manner that we would be well-pleasing to the Lord, and that having that distinction between that which is godly and that which is ungodly. And we see that there is great, great blessings. We experience that over and over throughout life, that there is great, great blessings in living a godly, sanctified life, a life that pleases the Lord. It gives peace, it gives joy, it gives hope, it gives a sense of calmness. And there's nothing in this world that can compare to that. Whereas when we compare it to an ungodly life, how there is just this angst, and there's complexity, and there's confusion, and there's just so much ungodliness about living in such a manner as that. And so we are to understand that there is great blessings. Great blessings in living this sanctified life, in being distinct from this world, and knowing that there is great distinction between an ungodly life and a godly life. We have been redeemed, and we rejoice in this redemption that has been given unto us by nothing less than the Son of Jesus Christ, than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We rejoice in this redemption that we have, that we can have this life and know that God is true, and he loves us and has given unto us life. So we have been redeemed. We've been called out from a life of sin. The Bible says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? When we have been redeemed and we walk in this newness of life, we are then dead to sin. That no longer rules us. That no longer directs us. We have no more pleasure in sin. We are dead to sin. Grace has been given unto us, and we cannot live any longer therein. And so in this morning's reading that we had, it said here, be not therefore partakers with them. The godly should not have any partaking or co-participation in with the ungodly. There needs to be a distinction between those that are godly and those that are ungodly. The Bible says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. There is no more living in sin. That body of sin should be destroyed. And we are buried with Christ into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. In newness of life, in a godly manner that is completely different from that when we were dead. God has called us from being dead unto life. God has called us from darkness into light. God has called us from the power of Satan unto the power of God. There is a distinction between the two. We are to be freed from sin. As we are dead with Christ, we are to be freed from sin. And being freed from sin, then, among other things, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, meaning separated, acceptable unto God. Not acceptable unto what our standard might be or another standards might be, but to the standard of God, that we would live a life that would be sanctified, that would be acceptable unto him. Being sanctified means that we would be set apart by God for his purposes, that we would no longer serve sin, but that we'd be set aside for his purposes to do his will. And this is not a one-time in our life occurrence, but it happens daily, that we are living that sanctified life daily. The Bible says that we are sanctified by our faith that is in the shed blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we are sanctified by his word. This is what sanctifies us, and this is what makes it so special to us. Because it wasn't a group of believers from a long time ago in a different place that came up with a set of objectives and what would be defined as a sanctified life, but it's from the word of God. It's not a group of theologians that came together, did a lot of research, did some back testing, and came up with a set of principles that this is what a sanctified life looks like. No, but it's by the Holy Spirit, and it's by the word of God. God has given us life, and we give it back to him. We live for him in a manner that would be well-pleasing in his sight. And therefore, we are to let our moderation be known unto all men, because he is at hand. The Lord is at hand. So in all things, we are to live that moderate lifestyle, being sanctified, being set apart for his use. A life of sanctification produces fruit of the Spirit, and it abstains from the works of the flesh. That's what a sanctified life looks like. That's how it is given by the Holy Spirit and by the word of God and by faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's from God. And so there is to be a distinction now between the godly and the ungodly. And so let's consider these scriptures in light of this sanctified life that we would be called to. The Bible here says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. This is the blessing of this hope and this joy and this peace that we can have in the Lord by being a follower of the Lord, a close follower of his, as a dear child, as a child that seeks to just simply please his parents all the time. That's a dear child, not a rebellious one, but one that seeks to please his parents at all times. And this is what we are being exhorted to and being called to as godly lives, that we would be followers of God as dear children. And he says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. This is a godly life. This is what it looks like. This is what that sanctified, distinguished life looks like, is one that would walk in love, even as the same measure that Christ loved us. And he loved us so much that he left that throne of heaven and came here upon this earth and took upon himself flesh and blood and walked that perfect life, never sinning, and being that sacrifice for us, to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. This is the love that he had for us, and we are to walk in that love. It's distinct from this world, for sure. Then he speaks of an ungodly life. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Not once. Look at that wording here that it speaks here. Not once named among you as becometh saints. Fornication, all uncleanness and covetousness. They are to be completely different than a life in God. For this you know, let me back up to verse number 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. What's coming from our mouth? As those who are walking in newness of life, as those who have been translated from the power of Satan unto the power of God, from death unto life, from darkness unto light, what's coming out of our mouth? That which would glorify God. That we would speak of him and what he has done. And not filthiness, and not foolish talking, nor jesting, that would come out of our mouth. That's not convenient. The translation for that would be that it's not proper. That's not the right thing to do. That's not appropriate for one who has been redeemed, for one who has been translated to the power of God. But what should be on our lips is the giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. So these three are mentioned here twice. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Those who are ungodly and in such manner have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. This the word of God makes clear. It's clear here. Again, not made up by any other man, nor any other association of people, but it is by the word of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, the ungodly and the godly. The wrath of God will come upon the ungodly, and the ungodly know so. The wrath of God. Who wants to face the wrath of God? But we who have walked in this newness of life, who are letting the Holy Spirit direct us and guide us, we know and are certain and have experienced it over and over again that the blessings of the Lord are there. He gives unto us his grace. He gives unto us a peace that no man has ever given before. He gives unto us a joy that's firm, a joy that goes through all things in life, and that we have a hope that goes far beyond anything that anyone can accomplish here in this life. No one wants to face the wrath of God. And so he says, be not partakers with them. Don't be a partaker with them. There needs to be a distinction. There needs to be a separation between a godly life and an ungodly life. There cannot be any co-participation. There cannot be keeping of company of godly with ungodly. But there is only light and there is darkness. And for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You were in darkness. You were groping around, looking for things that this world cannot give. provide. But now you've been illuminated, and the light, nothing less but the light of Jesus Christ, has shined in your hearts. And now there's this great distinction, a great separation between the children of disobedience and the children of obedience. And we are the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. This is what the blessings that we have as being God's own children, as being His, as experiencing this godliness, that this fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Goodness, not evil, not backbiting, not turning on each other, but in all goodness and righteousness, the righteousness that comes from God, and then to know the truth. The truth is so elusive in this world, but to know the Word of God is truth. The Word of God will direct us. The Word of God will give us peace. We will know His ways, and then we take that knowledge and we translate it into wisdom by living out the principles and the truth that is written here in God's Word. And then we are being encouraged as godly men and women to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And we can see it here even in this chapter, that we can prove that giving thanks to the Lord is acceptable unto Him. Being content with what the Lord has given unto us is acceptable unto the Lord. That's acceptable unto Him. He's telling us, don't be covetous. That's being an idolater. Don't be covetous, because all the things I've given unto you are for your good. And there's nothing more that you need in your life. So don't be covetous and don't desire for more. Or don't desire for the treasures of this earth, where thieves break through and moth does corrupt and rust does corrupt. And so be content. Be content in the Lord. And that is proving what is acceptable unto Him. And then again, he's saying here, and have no fellowship. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't take your light and mix it with darkness. Don't take the purity that you have and mix it with uncleanness. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And then it says, but rather reprove them. And so if we're going to speak of the works of darkness, we are to reprove them and call them for what they are. And to say that no fornicators, nor whoremongers, nor unclean persons, nor covetous man has any part in the kingdom of God or of Jesus Christ. Reprove them. Call it for what it is. Fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness is evil. Reprove them, for it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. The light of the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And He reproves sin, and he exposes sin. And He exposes ungodliness for what it is. And know that when we understand the Word of God, that sin will lead to death, that light is given unto us. And we rejoice in this light of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. It is the light of Jesus Christ that comes and illuminates our hearts. And we rejoice in that light that he has given unto us. The godly shall inherit the kingdom of God. The ungodly shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it reads as such, that know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Know this. Be not deceived. The world may say other things, but don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, men taking on the identity of a woman, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Then it says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified. Ye are sanctified. Ye have been set apart for a specific use by God, for God. Life has been given unto you. Ye are sanctified. But ye are justified. How? How are we justified? How are we sanctified? How are we cleansed? By ourselves? By what a group of men might say? No. We are washed. We are sanctified and we are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's how we are sanctified and that's how we are justified. And there needs to be a distinction then between an ungodly life and a godly life. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We are to walk in wisdom. The wisdom that comes from above. The wisdom that comes from above is first pure, it's peaceable, and it's easy to be entreated. When we open our hearts to the Lord, and He illuminates us, and the light of Jesus Christ comes into our hearts, and then by His power and by His glory and that which He does, He translates us from the power of Satan unto the power of God. We then can see this wisdom and we can walk in this way. We can walk circumspectly. We can walk looking round about us, having a careful consideration of the circumstances that are around about us. And that we might be careful in our lives that we would bring forth the fruits of the Spirit and abstain from the works of the flesh. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are evil, and we have to understand that we are here in enemy territory. Satan wants to deceive us. We are exposed continuously to ungodly people. We are continuously exposed to messages that aren't true. They're not true. And so we need to be careful and understanding of that we are in enemy territory and we need to be wise. And then it says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And we always ask, what's the will of the Lord? What does God want? What is that will of the Lord? We read what the will of the Lord is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is what God wants. You to be separated from the ungodly to godliness, to displaying the fruit of the Spirit, to abstaining from the works of the flesh. And so this is the will of God. Even our sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. In this world, we live in a godless society, and there's nothing wrong in their sight with fornication. Nothing wrong with it at all. But for the godly, it's not so. And so this is the will of God, even our sanctification, to walking in newness of life, from being distinct, completely distinct from the ways of the world and all ungodliness. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Again, completely different, different distinction of being filled with wine versus being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, which gives us great joy, gives us peace, and gives us a hope that's such a blessing in our life. And we rejoice in this, and we cling to this. And Satan wants to draw us away, and he wants to tempt us and bring thoughts to our minds and tempt us in godless ways to turn from this from godliness. But we are to be filled with the Spirit. And when the Spirit would say to us in his still small voice, don't look at that. Don't go there. Don't dwell on that thought. Think upon those things which are just, true, honest, lovely, pure, and of good report. And we listen to that voice because we are filled with the Spirit and his righteousness that he gives unto us. Further, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto your heart and to the Lord. This is what ought to fill our hearts. This is what fills the hearts of those that are godly. That we would allow his Spirit to work in us, and that we're pondering upon his word and having these psalms in our minds and having songs that we just love to sing, praising him with it. Here's a psalm to consider. Psalm 4:3 says, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. God has set us apart. If we commit to living a godly life and yield ourselves by his grace, filling ourselves with his grace to lead a godly life, that the Lord hath set us apart for himself. For himself. That God has put his seal upon us, saying, this is my child. And again, when God puts his seal on us and he says, this is my child, that gives us great peace, great joy, and great hope. But if we don't have God's seal of his love and of his mark that we are his, then what's abiding is the wrath of God. No one wants to face the wrath of God. And so we are to live in this manner of having these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs ringing within our hearts and in our minds, that we might maintain a godly life that is distinct and separate from the ways of this world. Here he's also saying, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always in all things. This is what should flow from one who is godly. A continuous of thanks. Thanks to the Lord for what he has given unto us. An ungodly man doesn't. An ungodly man is covetousness, has covetousness. And he covets, and he says, I want this, and I want that, and I'm not satisfied, and I want more. But a godly man gives thanks in all things, for all things. A godless man has foolish talking coming out of his lips and jesting. But a godly man gives thanks unto God always for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he concludes here this reading that we had by saying, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. A godless man would never submit. He has way too much pride for him to submit. He'll never submit. But a godly man will submit. Will submit. And know that there is a great blessing in that. That when we impact each other, by our lives we impact each other. And when we submit one to another of those of us who live sanctified lives, that there is great blessing in that. And you know, when we submit one to one another, we're following the word of God, and the doors of grace from God, our Father, are opened, and grace comes pouring to us. And how much do we need the grace of God? And so there is great blessing in our lives as a godly person in submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. A life of sanctification. A life that is separated by God and for God. There is great, great blessing in that. Great joy, great peace, and great hope accrue to a life of a godly person. We rejoice in that. This is the life of sanctification. We read it this morning. Being followers of God as dear child, walking in love, giving thanks, being content with what God has given unto us, being not partakers with those that do evil, having the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth in our lives. Walking in wisdom, that is a sanctified life. Doing and understanding the will of the Lord, being filled with the Spirit, speaking to ourselves in hymns and in spiritual songs, giving thanks continuously, and submitting ourselves one to another. This is what a sanctified life looks like. It's prescribed by the Word of God. Jesus Christ, as he was praying to his Father in that beautiful chapter there in John 17, he speaks of us and he says, "They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus Christ pleads on our behalf to the Father that we would be sanctified, that we would be separate, that we would be distinct from the ways of this world. He intercedes for us, and he will provide us his love and his grace as he sanctifies us to his will. The Word of God also teaches us, the Lord himself speaking, and he says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be unto you a father, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty."